Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But I want to encourage you, listen, God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. You know, and I just look at past generations and they had such guts. And they had such, you know, there was ones who didn't, but we're here today because of those who had guts and who no guts, no glory, no testimony of what God has done in our lives. And this generation, man, we don't even have guts to have kids. Mm. We're having fewer kids than any past generation, and we're about to be snuffed out as a population, as a country, just because we don't have guts to have a kid. And it takes guts to have kids. But you know, but it's like, hey, it's worth it. It's what God is like. But I was looking, I was flipping channels this weekend, and I saw a segment of the movie Glory. And I was watching, this is the Civil War taking place, and they're fighting at Fort, I don't know, it was Murray or something like that, Murphy. And there was this black platoon, African-American, I don't know if it's called platoon or brigade or whatever they were. Mm-hmm. And they just used this platoon for manual labor. They didn't put them on the front lines and stuff. And I can't think of the actor's name. They'll come to me. Who?
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel Washington and Brad. Or anyway, it'll come up. And their sergeant. I don't know who their sergeant was. But and so their sergeant was a white man, and he was like, "This has got to stop. You know, these men want to fight for this country."
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, Matthew
Broderick.
Broderick.
Wow.
And he said, "We got to fight for this country." I mean, they want to fight for this country. They wanted to get in there and fight, you know? And I'm thinking, dude, where is that spirit today, you know?
Right.
And it was just so cool. And they were being ridiculed by their very own soldiers from the North but every race was fighting for this freedom of freeing economic slavery, all these secessions, what they call them. They were fighting the secessioners, you know, from the South. And they finally, you know, Matthew Broderick went in there and he basically told the general, it is just like every generation, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he says, "Well, I could go tell the boss man," which is the president of everything, "I could tell him that you've been funneling all this cotton out and selling it to people from the South. I can tell him you're making all this money underhand, all this kind of stuff. Or you can let us go fight." You know, and he goes, I think I'm going to go let you go fight. And it's like, does every generation evil? Anyway, even the ones fighting for right, that's right. So finally they go and they go fight this battle. Mm-hmm. They go fight this battle. And the way they fought war back then is like,
insane.
Okay, line up and get shot.
Exactly. Right.
You squat down and get shot, and I'll stand over you and get shot. Right. And whoever is left will win. This is great.
I'm like, foxhole was a good invention.
Yeah. You know, and then we had the trench battles, you know, that came later on. But the thing about it is like, this isn't that long ago. That's how we fought battles, you know. And so now we have a drone that just flies over there. Anyway, won't go there. And so they fought this battle, and they fired, because it's muskets, right? And so they're they loaded their guns, and they fired their first shot, and these Southern soldiers took off, and they were shot and defeated. Like they were defeated, and they went, and they're just standing there with their guns. You know, I'm thinking, like, I'm yelling at the TV, "Reload, reload,
hurry up,
reload! You only got one shot, bro. Reload that puppy, right?" And then finally, they had, of course, obviously some sort of strategy, because another flank from the South started coming up against them. Then Matthew starts going, "Reload!" I'm like, dude, that's a little late, you know. Yeah. So they're shoving. And the first time they shot, it was like everybody shot at the same time. Next time, he's like, "Just shoot at your own free will, bro." He's like, "Shoot." Anyway, long story short, they lost less people than the other ones, and so they won. No, they won that battle, and I believe there was a flag that was flying, which is beautiful because that was the first African American brigade that stood up for America that was allowed to stand up. Many wanted to, but they stood up, and it broke all the racial barriers in the military at that particular point. But the most, I want to tell you what happened when we get back from this break, but it was so powerful when they started coming up against this fort. And I'm going to find the name of the fort so I can tell you what it is, what they did. I mean, I was just in tears watching this thing. It's about the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry. And they were formed, I believe, in 1862. 1862, in this war that they were going on, I was just talking about, which is so powerful, realize at this point they've already made a name for themselves, that they're willing to fight for this country. They're willing to hold the flag up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in boot camp, you had a flag bearer, and they would march in front of the infantry, and they would always hold the flag. No matter what, they were flag bearers. And you would carry guns, for example, but they would carry the flag.
Mm.
And that's what's happening here. You have people that were holding, you know, African-Americans that were holding the American flag up, while other African-Americans, and well, that was their whole troop, but it was all African-American except for Matthew Broderick and his lieutenant or whatever. And they're actually playing characters that they're playing real people. Wow. Colonel Shaw, I think it was Colonel Shaw was one of them they were playing, but also Morgan Freeman was in the movie as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was just so powerful. So here they are. They finally are going to have to go confront the South at this particular Fort Wagner. And they've been up for 2 days now. You know, Matthew Broderick's, the 54th, has been up for, the 54th Infantry, Volunteer Infantry, Massachusetts Infantry, has been up for 2 days. And they tell the leader at that point, they said, listen, you know, we'll be the ones. In other words, the tip of the spear. We'll be the front ones. And I have to, I was looking up, I realized, hey, I was watching the TV version of this, so I don't know what the actual version may be like, but I encourage you to get clearplay.com, and you actually can, it can be like the TV version, because it was not bad in regards to language and how they, nobody used God's name in vain, the part I was watching. And here they are, and this is history, though. This is history. And I'm watching them, he goes up and he says, listen, we want to be the ones. We want to be basically the tip of the spear. We want to be the first infantry to go in, and everybody would be behind them. And Fort Wagner was your old fort type situation where they have cannons on the wall and shooters on the wall. And they're, and Fort Wagner's on the beach. It's in South Carolina. And they have to, the whole infantry has to be able to march in the sand. I can't even, I was out this week and I was on the beach. I can't even hardly walk in the sand. I can imagine carrying a gun and a wool uniform, you know, and all your stuff on you and marching in the sand.
Right.
Wow. Maybe we would be in better shape.
Yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, Steve said something about running down the beach. We'll talk about that later on. And so then so here they are. They said, okay. He said, you've been up for 2 days. You guys, he said, listen, we can do this thing. And so Matthew had such great confidence, and they wanted to, this is what I got from it. You know, what they were portraying is, we want to have a part in history. We're not looking at how tomorrow will be. We just want tomorrow to be different, and we're willing to give our lives for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just with the birth rate in America, we're not willing to give our lives for our children. It takes 2.1 children per average woman to be able to maintain a population, and we're dropping below that.
Mm-hmm. Per average family, you mean?
Yeah. Huh? Nope. It's a average woman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's average woman. And so with that, so here they are. They said, we'll do it. And he says, okay. And they let them do it. So then they went back and got some rest, and they got prepared and all that. And so they come out the next day. And so you imagine these guys, the ranks are probably shoulder to shoulder, about maybe 20 wide, and maybe, I don't know how many, they probably would tell you if you just look it up. But it was, I would say, maybe 500 deep, something like that. Maybe maybe 1,000 deep. Just huge infantry. And it just looked like a lot. And this is 1863 now. They're facing Fort Morgan in South Carolina, or Fort Wagner in Morris Allen, South Carolina. And they look at each other, and this is what you got to do. I mean, they're fixing to do it. We did this when I was a deputy. We'd all the time. I was like, I guess we're going in, right? I would call the police, but they'd send me. Anyway, so there'd be a record that I'm gone. No, right. And so they look at each other, and this is the moment that they lived. They wanted to be able to fight for it. And there was so many different things. I didn't see the whole most part I'm seeing. And all of a sudden, you know, they just said, you know, Matthew, he got off his horse, because at that time the sergeants would wear horses or whatever, or lieutenants would. And he wanted to be down on the ground with the troops. And he got in the very front of them. Matthew got in the very front of them, maybe 10 feet, 20 feet ahead of them. And then he basically didn't say charge, but just said, let's go. And he said, at a steady pace, and that's where you're moving at a steady pace as a whole troop. And then finally it was like cannons started going off, and this, they would hit the sand, it would blow all over them. And basically he said, you know, not run, but something in military terms that means a quick pace or something. And they just started, in the midst of fire, bullets are flying over their head, and they're charging right in the face of racism and slavery and all this. What the heck are you thinking down south at that time? And for the freedom and for the freedom of people that have been, you know, held captive for economic gain and all this stuff that's been going on, and they're just going right at it, and I'm just weeping. Man, these tears are just pouring on my face, and I think, man, these guys, this 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, they were willing to give their lives. They were marching against cannons and forts, and there was others behind them, but they were way. I mean, they literally made it to a bank in the sand. They made it to the bank. This is in the daytime, mind you, and lost all kinds of their troops in the process of that. And they're laying basically on the other side of a dune, sand dune. And they said, okay, we're going to stay here till night. It's like, there is no here. I mean, you're on a sand dune. Well, you know what sand dunes are. It's like, yeah, you can shoot through a sand dune almost, especially with a cannon.
Right.
And it was just like, I was just the whole time, man, I'm just weeping, thinking, where are these brave men and women? Who is in this generation that we're going to stand up for what's right? You know, willing to live. You're not ready to live for nothing until you're willing to die for something. And so many people gave their life for this country. And during the Civil War, you know, men and women of every color, you know, they gave their life so we could be free to have this freedom that's going on. They marched in the face of that stronghold in this country, and they just marched to this fort. And all of a sudden, you know, when the night hit, they just started charging this fort, and just body after body after body was just, they were getting taken down. And all of a sudden, of course, Matthew, the lieutenant, stands up, or captain, whatever his rank is, and he gets shot, you know. And then all of them. And then Matthew rolls down onto the sand dune, and then these other ones, and you think, oh, my gosh. Because Americans make movies, and it ends with, you know, the hero comes in like Rambo or something. But this is true history.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is over, and they did not take Fort Wagner. They didn't take Fort Wagner, and so they have everybody's bodies are like lined up side by side, and they're stacking the bodies up, and they pick up Matthew's body, and they dropped him into this wide open grave, and he rolled down there, and he's on his back. And then this other African American soldier that he really struggled with in his ranks, who was coming from all this abuse, and it was hard to really trust anybody because all the damage was done to him, and as he came through this whole emotional understanding, wait a minute, everybody's not the same, and he ended up fighting for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Then they dropped his body, and then he rolled right up under Matthew's arm. And so you had these two guys that gave gave their lives. You know, I'm literally just weeping, man, thinking like, where is this generation? Where are these people? It was so beautiful, you know. And you can't even get the church to step outside of the walls of a what? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we can't even get Americans to have babies. You know, we can't even, it's like, what have we, that's just, it was just, I was just so awestruck. And I literally, I'm just weeping and just thinking, I'm thinking about the men that they represented. I'm thinking about, you know, that these were volunteers that volunteered. They wouldn't say, well, what's the pay? Am I going to get educated after this? You're going to give me a college education?
Right.
Some benefits.
Right. Am I going to be able to go to the exchange and buy my groceries for cheaper? Mm. Am I going to get medical after this?
Yeah.
I mean, they just volunteered for what was right.
Mm.
You know, and even the North that supposedly was fighting for what's right, there was racism in the North, and the soldiers who were fighting for the freedom of the slaves in the South, they were racist. A lot of those guys was racist. And the way they treated soldiers and what they talked about them, because it's more than, it was economic finances. That's what they were doing. They were making money off of enslaving a people. Mm-hmm. And so it was about money and wealth and that type of thing. Anyway, not going there. And so I was just like so moved. And then I almost felt so unworthy to be watching that, because I'm thinking like, we're just such a shame. Our generation is such, who are we? We can't even... It's just amazing. We can't even get somebody to go tell somebody about Jesus.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I'm not even worthy to be watching just a picture of what these guys did to be able to free us where we are today, to be where we're able to have this freedom today that we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really feel that. I was like, oh my goodness. dear God, forgive us, Lord. Make us men and women of integrity and character, that we get on the same side, you know, and fight for the same cause, and realize that there's a lot of things America has not done by choice that, hey, God may be doing by force. And that, you know, if it's of God and it's what God would want, how us to treat each other, then let it be, you know, let whatever we need to do things right. But know this, that the people that's that we're standing on their shoulders. I like what, you know, some people recently said, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. The sad thing is that we're sitting on their shoulders. We're not standing on nobody's shoulders. Yeah. We're sitting. We're like just living off these blessings and not even being willing to pass them on to the next generation. We don't even see the next generation. Wow. There is no projection. Listen, if we won't even have a baby, if we think marriage and children and families an inconvenience, then we're not even thinking about, because that's all about the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all about the next generation. Mm-hmm. And if it's not about that, what's there to fight for? You know, the people that have these little stickers on the back of their whatever traveling vehicles say, I'm spending my children's inheritance. It's like, yeah, that's what America's doing. We're literally spending our children's future today.
Mm-hmm.
It's $16, $17 trillion in debt. Mm. And we just won't go. It's like, oh my goodness. But it was powerful. I encourage you, if you're going to see, I saw a TV version of it, but as I was looking it up, as I told you, I was going to look it up. And it looks like it, obviously war's ugly. And if we just look at war, how it really is, then we will avoid it.
Right.
If we don't look at it how it really is, then we'll do it again and go, well, this is bad. Let's don't do that again. Then we'll cover it up and we'll do it again because we forgot what it was like.
Yeah.
But there is ClearPlay. You can go to clearplay.com or go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and just type in ClearPlay. We have some stuff on there. And what happens is you take this movie Glory and you put it in that, and you can pick what you don't want to play, and it will somehow remove it, and it doesn't even affect the movie. It just goes away, and you can actually view some history without being, you know, offended in your spirit. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And sticking to it.
I mean, it's just beautiful. John, I didn't even feel worthy to be watching it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because, you know, these African-Americans that were playing that, they weren't looking for a movie part. I mean, Denzel and Morgan Freeman, these guys, they weren't looking. They were wanting to be a part of history.
Yeah.
You know, like the ladies that played Coretta and Malcolm X's wife, you know, they were wanting to be a part of history.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to act out those that have gone before them. And you could tell it. You could just tell it. And it was just like, oh, man.
I believe he actually won an Oscar for that. Denzel Washington won. That's the first, I think it was only like the second African-American to win an Oscar for that. But I think he actually won an Oscar for that performance. So it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. You look at what people were willing to give their lives for. The generations past, you look at that and you realize that they truly understood that life was about leaving something behind. It wasn't about taking everything and sucking up all the natural resources for you, but that your life had to mean something. And it was an honor to actually die in battle and doing something good. That was an honor.
That's how we got here, because people were willing to die, you know, for us to be able to live.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes you want to go back and just say, wow, you know. But I believe that there's hope. I believe that as we continue to talk and share, like we're doing,
that's why we're here, right?
Radio. Yeah, that's why we're doing it. I mean, that's why we're sharing that this generation is going to rise up. I mean, this generation is going to stand on the front lines and be willing to lay our lives down. I mean, Jesus said, listen, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be with me, you got to deny yourself. You got to pick up your cross and you got to follow me.
Exactly.
He was clear in his expectation, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is that. This is our time. This is our, and listen, I mean, life is but a vapor. We're here today and tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? It's over with. Life is so short. It's one of the things that I was able to really understand as I did a chaplainship in Louisiana, LSU hospital. I got to see so many people that were living their lives every day, going, you know, to and fro on vacation. And
I remember that, yeah.
Remember that experience? It's like, oh my goodness, they were going to Mexico on vacation and their daughter flew out the window of an SUV.
Goodness.
And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like this person was having a party and then all of a sudden this person got shot. And it's like, You know, that's why they call it an accident, an unfortunate situation. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't really planned. And you got to see how short life really is. And it's amazing that when tragedy like that hits, you start realizing that whatever plans you were going to do, whatever was going to happen that weekend, nothing else really matters at that point because someone suffered a tremendous loss. And we don't want to look at yesterday and just say, oh, you know, or look at the future and say, you know, one of them's going to get old. We got to look back and say, you know what? I'm going to seize the opportunity of a lifetime right now. I'm not going to let this pass by, but I'm going to do something for in my generation for God, and I'm going to lay it all down for Him.
You know, when I saw that the movie, or the part of the movie Glory, and that's what happened, that, you know, America was divided, and President Abraham Lincoln was the president during that time. And it's just amazing the things that he probably went through as a human being, trying to manage that in addition to his own personal losses and all. And it's like, we survived that. That's just amazing that literally the America had the Hatfields and McCoys, and we didn't know who I was going to come out. And Abraham Lincoln, we got to revisit our history so we don't repeat it. Yeah. But when he's having the Gettysburg Address, he just was able to bring sanity to all Americans and value to all Americans and look beyond, you know, ignorance and just say, listen, you know, we can hold these states together. And it's like, wow, that's just amazing to me.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't the isolationist, you know, mentality and all that. And think about that. It's all those years since, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, America was able to survive that. And of course he didn't, you know, he paid a huge price for that. And, think about it, you know, what he gave his life for, you know, we're still living off of today.
That's right.
You know, and just like the ones that I was talking about in the 54th Voluntary Infantry, that they gave their lives. It was, think about this. I'm going to go fight the people who want to enslave me. And because what they're doing is wrong, to free up all Americans. And then you die fighting them. And then they're over your body. The disposal of your body is like, this is not going to be good. I don't think, you know, they're going to honor our fellow Americans and all that. And it's just like, it was just another, I'm thinking like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't win that battle. But what they did win, I didn't say this, is, that they broke the mindset of American generals, and that where they said, you know, we're going to integrate the armed forces. We're all fighting, man. We all can fight for the cause. And they didn't die in vain because they were fighting for a cause, period. But also they broke all those mindsets to where, listen, we can fight side by side. Everybody's a man. That's everybody's right. Important. And so they were actually breaking even the mindsets that had to be broken in the North there. And it's just this, you know, if you get a chance, you know, make sure you have a clear play when you watch it or watch a TV version of it. But because I just want to look it up, wasn't so hot.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.